Okay, welcome back. Having a fun and enlightening conversation with Dr. Raymond Keller, as we have twice now. Dr. Keller is a PhD. What's your PhD in again, Ray?
It's in history.
Very good. All right. So what we're looking at now are the pictures and a middle link under Dr. Keller's name. And we're scrolled down to the point where there is a photo of a bee on the back of his very nice-looking shirt. The bee matches perfectly with the shirt. Could be an ornament on the shirt. Tell us about about the bee. What's that all about?
There was a program out at the near the grounds of the Golden Hindu Temple in Moundsville, West Virginia. It's also a very famous tourist attraction. Mm-hmm. And there was like a music festival and like a New Age kind of festival.
Right. Mounds, M-O-U-N-D-S, Moundsville.
Moundsville. It's not too far from, it's in the western part of, northwestern part of West Virginia.
This image came out of the article in Graffiti Magazine?
Yes.
Okay.
And it represents, I was sitting there at my booth with a Venus tablecloth, and mm-hmm. it's decorated with bees, incidentally.
Oh.
And this bee came, and rather large bee, as far as bees go,
it is. It's a big bee.
Yeah, and it came and landed on my shoulder, and it wouldn't leave for about 4 hours. And I didn't want to chase it away. Sherry Lynn, who is a Venusian herself, she was the first one to notice it. You know that I had this little friend coming. A light on my shoulder, and
when were these taken, Ray? Pardon the interruption.
This was in the summer.
Last summer.
Of 2017.
Oh, okay. Just last summer.
And she took the pictures, and it was finally time to pack up and go home, and uh-huh. so I just requested to the bee, because every bee is a potential queen. So I just asked, you know, I just respectfully asked that, you know, I have to go home now. And it flew away.
That bee could have been Valiant Thor.
And so that was, in my first book, Venus Rising, A Concise History of the Second Planet, I look at the connections of bees with the planet Venus. Mm. And the actual name of the planet is Abhar, which means world of the bees. And it is
Oh, really? Who named that?
The humanoid inhabitants of Venus, they actually came there from somewhere else, a planet uh-huh. called Norca in the Tau Ceti system.
Where did the name come from again? The humanoid inhabitants of Venus, and how did it manifest over here so we could read it? Where did we first see that? Where did it come from?
We were first told about it here by Albert Coe. He was a resident of Philadelphia and around the 1920s, early 1920s. He saved the life of a Venusian named Zret when him and a friend were on a fishing trip up in Canada, and then so he's been friends with the Venusians ever since. And a lot of the information that we have about the Norcons and the connection with bees and everything came from him.
How many Venusians are on this planet?
There's about 4,000.
They come and go?
Yes, they come and go. 4,000 is the usual operative number, mm-hmm. although it's probably gone up of late because of the conditions that you mentioned at the beginning of the program about the the North Koreans and the Chinese.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah.
So when the problems intensify, there's usually more wow. operatives on the earth. But we know that this number is 4,000 generally from Rumi. Rumi was a Sufi mystic in the 13th century.
Yeah.
And he had said that at any time on the earth, there's at least 4,000 angels that are operating unbeknownst to the rest of the population.
That B is so big, it looks like it could have been built by DARPA.
Yeah, this is quite a good size B, but ever since my encounter with that Venusian scout ship in that National Enquirer article.
Yeah, tell us about that, Ray, before we go on.
Yes, this was a typical scout, what we call today like an Adamski class
yes.
Scout ship, hovering about 1,000 feet over a railroad trestle very slowly in Walton Hills, Ohio, by the Cuyahoga Park System, Cuyahoga County Park System.
Right.
And ever since then...
That was a daylight sighting, wasn't it, for you?
Yes, that was a daylight disk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Adamski craft, for those of you listening, and I think many of you will recognize this, it's just a round disk, but on the bottom are usually three round orbs that are on the bottom of the craft.
Yes, those are capacitors. So they hold the magnetic charge.
Mm-hmm. All right, neat looking bee. And on the side shot, I can see it has a formidable stinger there. So you were wise to let it sit. Okay. Now the next picture is of you and one of Donald Trump's bright neckties and a red belt with a nice young lady. Who is this?
Okay, when I go to book signings and
yes.
UFO meetings, book fairs, and so forth, people sometimes share with me information or they share their personal accounts. And this was unusual because this is a fan who bought one of my Venus books that dressed up like a queen bee.
I was just going to say, for everyone listening, be sure to look at her head. There's some bee antenna up there, and then look at her sleeves and bee stripes.
And I thought that was a very nice gesture on her part.
I agree. Who do you know who she is? Just a fan?
Yes, just a fan. Mm-hmm. I autographed the book for her and put
very
a personal
nice.
Note in it.
Very nice. She looks like a very pleasant young lady, and you look very happy there with your book and your red necktie. Very good picture. I like that. All right, next up we have a picture of Supergirl.
Yes, that's Melissa Benoist. She's the star of the Adventures of Supergirl show that's in its third season.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And interestingly on the program... She works for a secret government organization that's defending the Earth against extraterrestrial interventions. Even though she's an extraterrestrial herself, a refugee from the planet Krypton.
All right. Well, we need extraterrestrial intervention now. We are in trouble. So I hope that, anyway, I know it's fiction, but... some of them are good, some of them are not good, but we've been led astray, I feel, by the bad ones.
Oh, yes, Jeff. You know, in the Bible, how it, the Lord's Prayer, how as in heaven, so on earth.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, in order for conditions on earth to be like they are in heaven... then we certainly need instruction and help from our from our celestial brothers and sisters, and that's
the good
why
ones.
They're here.
Yeah.
Yes, the good ones.
All right. Next up is one of your books, Cosmic Ray's Excellent Venus Adventure. And do we want to mention anything about Dolores Barrios?
I've met her on various occasions. She is a Venusian, a naturalized Venusian, I guess you could say. She was originally born on Earth in the year 1585. Her complete biography is in Venus Rising, the first book, and then the second and third book have some pictures, other pictures of myself with her, mm-hmm. And then by herself that haven't been seen before. What's really interesting about her is that for most people on Earth, she was last seen on the 8th of August, 1954, when she dematerialized at a flying saucer convention presided over by three of the most famous contactees of the age, George Adamski, Daniel Fry, and Truman Bethrum.
She dematerialized. She vanished.
She vanished in, along with two friends.
How'd you get this picture of her? Did she come back?
Yes, and you'll see a picture in Venus 2 mm-hmm. of myself, Rockets to Venus, when I'm just a teenager out in California. It's in Chula Vista. Was a photograph of us together, and then there's another photo in book three, which is the one that you see on the cover of the book also, and that I was at the age of 58 uh-huh. at that time, and she hasn't changed at all.
Well, what is her working knowledge of Venus? Does she go back and forth now, being naturalized here? Have they just left her here, or does she get to travel back home?
Yes, she gets to go back and forth, and without saying too much about it, she is a very important personage on both worlds, on both the Earth and Venus, and well, for our whole galactic sector, for that matter.
Are you in touch with her?
Oh, yes, yes. And I've been at various meetings when she and other Venusians have showed up. And if you go on the, like on Google, you could see some pictures of Venusians that show up at different Venus presentations or sky watches.
Well, if she ever would want to come on the program here, she'd be more than welcome. It'd be fun.
Maybe we could arrange that.
Yeah. I have not spoken to a Venusian that I know of, so that would be good. No, it would be taken very seriously, and I'd like to talk to her. That'd be fun. So, by all means, do extend an invitation.
She does speak many languages, and I do have articles from even going back to January 1953, mm-hmm. Where it was noted that she was speaking Mandarin and speaking Portuguese and many other many other languages. So she truly is a queen.
All right, very good. We have a black and white photo, appears to be from the 40s.
This was in 1938, and that's Julius Schwartz from DC Comics. 1938, of course, when the first Superman comic book came out.
Schwartz, then, was he the founder of DC Comics?
Yes, he's one of the founders of of the comic group.
Right.
And then Otto Binder, who created over 200 comic book and science fiction characters. He was also a great science fiction writer, and his younger brother was also very noted in the world of science fiction. And then
Now, Otto Binder is in the center?
Yes, Otto Binder is in the center.
Okay.
With the white jacket and
yeah.
And then to the right of the picture is the shorter gentleman is A. Palmer. Raymond A. Palmer was the editor of Amazing Stories that published all the Richard Schaber articles about the inner earth and the flying saucers and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, from Amherst, Wisconsin, he became the publisher of Flying Saucers magazine.
Oh, yeah, of course, a classic.
And then Otto Binder, together with Raymond Palmer, later produced Space magazine.
Hmm.
Also out of Amherst, Wisconsin, and then he went on to write dozens of UFO articles, which I have every one, and five books about flying saucers, including one about Ted Owens, the psychokinetic man.
Hmm.
Now, Ted Owens, he could move objects with his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And predict earthquakes and all mm-hmm. kinds of disasters. And he got these powers after being zapped by a ray from a Venusian scout ship, much mm-hmm. like the one that I'm holding up the picture on the National Enquirer.
Very interesting.
And he said that the SIs, the saucer intelligences, were some kind of social insect like bees.
Hmm. Hmm. All right, a hive. Group.
Yes, and then Venus, they have a grand hive or a hive collective.
All right. The last image, many of these Supergirl arcs, ARCS. What are arcs?
Arcs are storylines.
Oh, okay.
And many of them, because Otto Binder wrote most of this. The Supergirl stories, you could see a lot of elements from the world of ufology and contactees in his comic book stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked this one Supergirl story because it had both time travel and a reference to Venus in it.
Otto Binder has a unique presence. He's a very short man, and he has an unusual air around him. I wonder if he's had... Was he a contactee?
I believe that he was, because of some of the things that he's written about, flying saucers and UFOs and
uh-huh.
life on other planets. He clearly uh-huh. had a great... understanding of ETs and their intimate associations right. with some human beings.
Well, very interesting. All right. Okay, let's go and look at another link under Ray's name. Is there any you want to talk about right now, Ray, that we haven't gotten to yet? Because I'd like to look at these pictures and things as we go along. What have we missed? What do we need to talk about?
Oh, yes, we haven't really missed anything there. I don't know if Frank had sent you the ones about, remember the last time when you had put up the picture, from Miss Rotifer, Madeline Rotifer?
Yes, Madeline, yes. We have...
There's a whole link, a whole page explaining all of that in detail.
Okay, is that the Val Thorne notebook?
No, it's the, it should be...
under Dr. Keller's books and rare photos of Valiant Thor?
No, let me check here under sent. Let's see, sent mail. Okay.
Because we got Cosmic Ray we've just been through, then we have the Val Thor notebook, which we
Val
haven't
Thor,
been through.
It should be Val Thor and the Transition of George Adamski, the Rotifer Files.
All right, let me see. I don't know if we have that. Val Thor and the Tradition of Adamski and the Rotifer Files. No, I'm not seeing it. Are you able to see the Val Thor notebook up there?
Oh, okay, let me...
There's some handwritten documentation there.
Oh, yes. I have that in my email.
Okay. Is that what we're talking about, or is...
No, this was something else. I have the actual frame from the...
Okay.
The Rotifer film, and then an article about Madeline Rotifer right after the death of George Adamski, with a focus on two of Al's ship.
Okay, please give me the name of that again. I'm going to write that down real quick.
Okay, it's Val Thor and the Transition of George Adamski, comma, the Rotifer Files.
George Adamski and the R-O-D, how do we spell it?
R-O-D-E-F-F-E-R, Rotifer Files.
Rotifer Files. Okay, we'll get that put up during the break here. Post SAP. Okay, we'll get that up now. Hank, hold on a second. Get that done. Okay, we can go to the Val Thor notebook while we have a couple minutes here and go through that. Let's pull that up. Photo by, this is the back of the photo, I assume. It's the caption on the back of the photograph. Photo on the right is who Howard Menger claimed was a man from the planet Venus. That is Valiant Thor. Man and woman next to him were the two who gave Howard Menger. Is it Menger or Menger?
Menger.
Menger and his wife Rose, the odd type of eight hand handshake. What's that about? Eight hand handshake.
Yeah, that was some kind of a kind of handshake that was very unusual. They couldn't really figure it out. What I'll try to do is I have the text, but it's very long. It's August C. Roberts' typed report.
Uh-huh.
And he tries to explain it in there.
Okay.
Very good. I'll try and get that to you.
All right, hold on just a minute, and we're going to take a break, come right back, and continue. Val Thor and the Transition of George Adamski, the Rotifer Files. We'll have that up by the time we get back. Okay, stand by. Okay, welcome back, and talking to Cosmic Ray, Dr. Raymond Keller, PhD. This is very interesting. All right, we're looking at the Valiant Thor notebook now, and I just read you the caption on the back of the photograph, which you'll see right below the caption. Original photo of Val Thor with notebook, August C. Roberts stamp and written explanation on the back. You can see August Roberts stamp there, Jersey City.
Yes.
New Jersey. Yeah, okay. Man on the right is who Howard Menger claimed was a man from planet Venus. There's Valiant Thor. We saw that picture last time. And reload the homepage because we've got something else being uploaded here momentarily. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, all of... August C. Roberts' original photos have been stamped on the back. That's his home address there, and then his typed explanation is on the back of the photo itself. And that photo is very clear because you can almost make out some of the writing on his notepad. And then I have the three. I'm only authorized to show the three pages from the notepad at
you have that notepad.
Yes, it's there. I have that, and there's the two short blank or white unlined pages.
Uh-huh.
And then there's eight pages that go with the that go with what he was jotting down there that day. So I have like the second to last page there.
What was he jotting down?
Well, it's a what he said on this one particular page that that we posted here is talking about astroarchaeology, a little bit about the work of George Hunt Williamson and some others, and then he has comments on Willie Ley, who was
the rocket wizard,
the rocketeer,
early rocket pioneer,
from Germany, who came here to escape the Nazis.
Yeah, Willie Ley, of course.
And Valiant Thor writes at the end of that page a very affirmative yes about people from space being among us and looking like us, and that Willie Ley, you know, was so familiar with this, and he didn't know whether, you know, the Venusians told him or what, but he was impressed that that Willie Ley knew this and was, you know, writing about it as early as the 1924.
Well, we should remember that the Germans had flying discs in the late 30s and into the 40s.
Oh, yes, yes.
They looked like the Adamski craft, one of them.
Exactly, and they had the Vril Society, and Willie Ley even wrote an article about that once upon a time.
That would be worth trying to find.
Yes, yes.
Wow, that would be a real treasure.
The other pictures there is of Howard's first wife, Rose. She was at the at that 13 July, and then their marriage was kind of going on the rocks because Howard's life as a noted contactee was putting a lot of stress on their marriage, and then he was introduced to Marla, and then I had the pictures of several pictures of her, of Marla, mingling with the crowd even on the 13th of July. And then the other picture is the flyer for the September 1st East Coast Flying Saucer Convention. So Howard had ambitions to replicate what George Van Tassel was doing out in California, Giant Rock.
Got it. Now, that picture of Howard Menger and Rose, his wife, at the meeting at which Val Thor and his three crewmates showed up at, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Did they have anything? Oh, God, you weren't there, but one wonders if they had much to talk about since Menger was an abductee or a contactee.
Oh, if his wife and mean?
No. If Howard talked to Val about being a contactee, and if Val knew who picked him up, who contacted him.
Oh yes. One of the reasons that Val Thor went there, leaving the Pentagon, was to he wasn't isolated in there. He had television and newspapers and
he could come and go as he pleased.
He could come and go as he pleased, and he heard about Howard Menger talking about life on Venus and read some accounts of him in newspapers, and so he was taking assiduous notes about Howard Menger and paying particular attention to everything that he was saying, especially as it concerned Venusians. And then he did have some questions as to whether his wife was, he doubted that his wife was a Venusian or even an interplanetarian. Howard, of course, was a Saturnian. His Saturnian name was Saul Denaro, and he had met Marla, who had become his second wife, her sister, a 400-year-old Venusian, on the rock at the Highbridge Farm when he was just 10 years old back in 1922.
And behind Howard and Rose is an amazing 51 Pontiac with a sun visor on the window. They used to put visors on those cars. What a classic machine. Okay.
So spiffy, and it looks like a kid, like in the background there.
Yeah.
Maybe playing catch with somebody else, but you can't see him.
Something.
But very, very 50-ish.
Absolutely. Well, boy, it would have been fun to be at that meeting.
The extraterrestrials, they do enjoy two decades specifically that they really like, the 1950s and the 1980s, for both the music and styles.
Well, amazing. Okay, we have loaded now, under Dr. Raymond Keller's name, Val Thor and the Transition of George Adamski, the Rotifer Files. Please open that up. And there's a very important picture in here I want everyone to see. Okay? All right, so there we go. Now, you're going to see a picture. There are actually three photos of an Adamski, we're going to call it an Adamski-type craft. All right? And you can see the three round orbs under it. Actually, look, two of them look round. One of them you can't see well. It's on the other side. But this is a craft that allegedly Valiant Thor was in. This came from KT Frankovic in Florida. She sent it to me as a personal, wonderful picture. I sent it to Frank Chile, and he had it digitally scanned, and that's what you're seeing up here. That is an original Madeline Rotifer photograph. It says, on December 3rd, 1965, the editors attended a lecture in Westford, Massachusetts. The speaker was Mrs. Madeline Rotifer. Mrs. Rotifer told of her association with Mr. Adamski and how she has assisted in his work since 1963. When she first made contact with him. This is 2 years after she met him, in other words. Mrs. Rotifer has continually attempted to induce government officials to release some greater measure of information about the UFO situation. She was fighting the cover-up even back then, wasn't she? Showing her films to various people in high positions. Throughout the lecture, she kept urging people to write to their congressmen, displaying the great amount of public interest in spaceships and requesting more information on the subject of interplanetary visitors. There you go.
Yes, and this particular article came to the Flying Saucer Report, which my friend and I were publishing in Bedford, Ohio, and that was the Probe magazine of March 1966.
You can see.
And it was
see,
a special memorial edition, uh-huh, to honor the life and times of George Adamski, the first ambassador to outer space.
George passed in what year?
Yes, he passed away on the 23rd of April, 1965, and he was falling very ill. He still wanted to get out and go to these flying saucer meetings at local clubs up and down the East Coast. And Miss Madeline would help him with the projectors, setting up the projectors and the book table and everything.
Well, she knew him the last 8 months of his life then.
Yes, she was his closest friend.
Uh-huh.
And she had wanted to see the Space Brothers and the spaceships, and so Adamski somehow arranged it, and on the 26th of February, just short of a couple months before Adamski transition, Val Thor flew a scout craft. He was a mothership commander, but he flew a scout ship over her house in Silver Springs, and she was so excited that she was, you know, clumsily, you know, fidgeting with the camera and dropping it and everything. And the aged Adamski, you know, picked it up and helped her steady it and go outside and take this famous film.
So that's so just three photographs on the roll of film.
Yes, that was three rolls. you know, after the picture had become steady, when Adamski grabbed the camera. And that was Val Thor's parting gift to the great George Adamski.
Wow, a flyover, you bet.
A flyover, like the Air Force would do.
Yeah. Wow.
And so you see, in the particular rotifer picture, you see the scout ship going through two phases.
Uh-huh.
First, it's hovering without a protective force field, and then later the field is engaged.
And it distorts the shape of the craft?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at this with a magnifying glass. And it's perfectly round, but as you can see, it morphs into a different configuration, at least as far as what the eye sees in these pictures. Well, good for Madeline. Good. Okay. Adamski went to the giant rock conferences for years, I guess.
He made it to a couple of them, but Mr. Adamski was frequently on tour overseas. He went to Australia. He went to Europe, to the British Isles, even down to Mexico. He was always on the go. In 1954, when they held the first interplanetary spacecraft convention at Landers Field,
right,
Adamski was in Detroit, and so he couldn't, and out on the East Coast, and he couldn't make it. But nevertheless, Truman Bethlehem, Orfeo Angelucci, and many others were there. And there was a very exciting event that took place. There was some kind of space platform or some kind of vehicle that exploded there, and some Venusians came down and were walking among the attendees with the help of a couple from a flying saucer club in Paradise, California, that helped them escape to a safe house where they could rendezvous and make it back to Venus.
Wow, Paradise, California. That was a very remote. It's still remote, but even then it would have been more so.
Oh, yes. I just came back from Paradise, California, was invited there by the friends of the library. And I shipped a box of Venus books. They all sold out, and it was very unusual. I think the Space Brothers and Sisters were helping me because there was a fire going on. It was just this summer.
Yeah.
And you could actually see the fire from Paradise, which is about 15 miles up from Chico.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the motels were all booked and everything, but I went to this one, and so the reporters were covering the fire,
mm-hmm.
and they were originally planning to cover the Venus presentation, because I was talking about Les Crandall and some other people that came there to talk about Venusians back in the 1950s. So the reporter wasn't there, but I went to this alternate hotel, this small lodge, and the owner and his family were actively involved with the local flying saucer club.
Interesting.
They bought all three of my Venus books and notified all the members of the flying saucer club, and the whole library was packed.
Good so, for you, right? Where is your home normally?
My home is normally in Morgantown, West Virginia.
So that's a long flight for you. You had to go to what, Sacramento, then travel north?
Yes, I
like
went
that.
To Sacramento, and then I rented a van and drove straight up 5.
Interstate 5. Yeah, if you'd have gone 3 more hours, you would have been in my backyard.
Wow. And then, well, I just cut across east on 20.
Sure, sure.
And then made it up there to Paradise. So I told everybody I'm going to Paradise, and they said, you're going to Venus with Dante? And I said, no, Paradise, California. But you know, California is a paradise, so.
Well, it used to be. It's geographically, it still is, except for where the fire burned. But the people and the politics there are nuts. Talk about off-planet. Anyway. Okay, that's another story. We have about 4 minutes left, Ray, so I want to make sure we cover everything. I think we've hit on all the links under your name in guests, and you've got many other things to talk about. We've got the third link. 1, 2, 3. The fourth link is Dr. Keller's books and rare photos of Valiant Thor. Please load that up, and we'll ask you to take a look at that. Scroll down and you'll see more pictures of Ray. You can see his three books. And then the black and white pictures, which we looked at last time. And then the white object in the forest, the old black and white picture. What is that again?
That is a transmogrification of a transformation to a light body by Connie Menger, and then in one picture, over at the rock where her sister originally appeared, materialized for Howard when he was a 10-year-old boy, and then the other picture is a transmogrification to a light being of Howard Menger himself. As Sol Denaro would appear in the set.
Is this after they passed? They came back?
No, this was at the at one of the meetings of the Highbridge Flying Saucer Club.
Were they there and they turned into light beings at the meeting?
Yes, and the other things that happened in the meeting, and I have some other pictures. I mean, I could post those at another time. But
well, you're certainly invited to come back anytime you want to present some more material. I'd like that. This is really fascinating. Yeah.
Yes, there's one. It's very exciting of the members. They were relaying an account of seeing a Venusian jump over a 15-foot fence.
Uh-huh. I used to be able to do that, but not
just
anymore.
Like a,
not
just
without
like
help.
Like a Superman, you know.
That's very good. Now, the pictures that are down below, you'll see there's one at the very bottom. This is the best picture of the rotifer picture of the Adamski-type craft with Val Thor in it. Okay, that's at the very bottom. The other pictures show the meeting in 1958, the UFO meeting, and sticking out like sore thumbs are the four purported Venusians, including the ever-handsome Valiant Thor, who looks like a Hollywood movie star.
And yes, he does look sharp in those pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there you go.
I sent Frank another set, but maybe at another time, but that was another mission of Val Thor. It was a commemoration by a well-known prophetess at the Great Pyramid in Egypt, with a Venusian scout ship hovering over the empty capstone.
Oh, well, let's, by all means, as soon as you get all that ready, Frank will send it over to get posted, and then we'll have you back on whenever you'd like. This would be fun. I really enjoy these. History. Very
well,
interesting.
Thank you, Jeff. This makes me very grateful that I have a receptive audience with your program, and all your people are so kind to have me on.
They are the best, and their minds are wide open. They'll consider anything, and this is fascinating material. So thank you. We look forward to our next visit, Dr. Raymond Keller. Take care. Happy New Year, my friend, and we will talk soon.
Thank you, Jeff, and many many happy years for you and yours to come.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Good night, Ray. We'll talk.
Good night, Jeff. Bye now. Right.
Very, very interesting. Dr. Raymond Keller, PhD, and we shall continue.